Hello and welcome to the expansion room. This is Siobhan Larice, and I'm happy to be back with you this week. And we are going to be talking about our continued topic of holistic mental health approaches. And this week, we will be talking about ways to integrate cannabis into your mental health journey. And this week, I'm going to do a disclaimer. So, the views of the expansion room are not the views of talkradio.nyc. And if anything we discuss today resonates for you that you would like to try or do or bring into your life, I highly recommend you either talk with your doctor or therapist or psychiatrist in order to be able to bring these things into your life in a healthy way. So that being said, today I am joined by Ceree McGlone. She is a licensed clinical professional counselor, a cannabis educator, as well as a certified cannabis assistant psychedelic therapist. And I have the pleasure of working with her in my practice at Restore Tranquility. So I brought her on today because this is a topic that she and I have talked about many times before. And so, Ceree, go ahead and unmute and share with the audience a little bit about what brought you to this journey of working with people in mental health as well as around cannabis.
Absolutely. Well, Siobhan, first I want to start off by saying thank you so much for inviting me. We have so many conversations about this, so it's good to really just be able to kind of hunker down and be like, okay, let's put it out there for the people to hear some of our internal conversations a little bit more and get to a good place of understanding, where our understanding of this plant comes from. So I would first start to say that I was not into cannabis at all. Like all through high school and college, I side looked everyone, especially my brothers. I was like, what you doing? I was very much cookie cutter. Like I've tried it once and I was like, it doesn't do nothing for me. I got anxiety. It's making it worse. It wasn't helping. And just, being able to understand that even having that type of cannabis, like back, and I'm talking about, almost 20 years ago, like that wasn't the cannabis we're experiencing now. It was not the same. And so I think, I basically, went ahead and got my psychology degree, undergrad, and even social welfare, went on to, go through, honestly, COVID, during that practicum internships, literally just got thrown in there of just, trying to, make ends meet, keep two jobs, but also pay my bills and be in grad school full time. During that time, I recognized that I was struggling more than usual with my insomnia. Always had insomnia. It's been something that was pretty persistent. And then after, years, like I think 15 years of cheerleading, I also just had a lot of chronic pain. And so I was, okay, just kind of going through life, just making it, just kind of in survival mode. And it was hard because even though I was this counselor and a therapist, and everyone was just like, "You're doing such a great job. You're so zen. You're so, everyone just loves, when you're talking to them." I didn't necessarily feel good. I had to, wake up, struggle, pep talk myself every morning, and kind of felt like I was also putting on a mask. So just kind of going through that, I graduated. I was like, okay, graduated, got my own place. I was like, okay, I'm doing this. I got lonely, got a dog, just going through all those those, usual phases of life changes, those transitions. And I still was struggling. I was like, okay, well, I have everything. I got the apartment. I got the dog, so I'm not lonely. I got, those type of things. But I was still one, dealing with my chronic pain, but also two, not sleeping, having my, the anxious thoughts, still kind of combat me sometimes, where I'm just like, okay, but everything is good. Why do I still feel this way? And still struggling to kind of find that balance and get out of that survival mode. And so I would say it was mainly, I think, 2022. So pretty recent. Again, I've now in my 30s, like pretty recent, where I had a friend just kind of like, you know, this actually could help. You know, you don't sleep that, you know, I'm talking about up 3 in the morning. Like, you're not sleeping. What? And so I tried a gummy. I was like, oh, wait, this kind of changed my whole life. Like, I slept through the whole night. I was like, I woke up feeling very well rested. I didn't even honestly really barely even feel that high feeling. It was literally like I just was able to finally rest my brain just enough just to sleep through the night. And I was like, okay, wait, let's go ahead and get signed up for medical at this point. Like, I just immediately went and signed up for the medical program in here in Maryland. And it wasn't too difficult at all, and started to kind of like explore what is cannabis? What does, you know, because I'm feeling that it makes me feel better, but what is all this behind it? What's the science behind it? So doing my research, because I have ADHD and dyslexia, so I have my hyperfixations, and that's what my one hyperfixation was for honestly a stint of a few, probably like a year of just cannabis, everything cannabis, cannabis, cannabis. And so I jumped into the research, and I came across the Cannabis Coaching Institute. So I was, you know, on top of having the chronic pain, and I also was having issues with my blood pressure, where it was so high because of the stress of my job as a therapist, working with a lot of different, whether it was trauma, whether it was, you know, different things. I was finding myself in their emergency room too often for my taste, right? And something just kind of had to give. So again, I found this Cannabis Coaching Institute was out of Canada, and I was like, okay, well, Canada is a lot more farther along in their cannabis research. So okay, let me see what's going on there. I hopped on like an info meeting, and one of the little caveats of the info meeting was like, okay, we'll choose someone random from the comments to give 50% off of our coach, to become a certified cannabis educator. So okay, everyone's just all talking in the chat. Everything's fine. And I got picked. And I was like,
Oh, wow.
okay, like I actually got picked for the 50% off. And I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and do this. And the crazy part was the day that I had gotten picked and did that info video workshop with them, it was the day I actually put my resignation in because I was so overwhelmed with my job. And I had just gotten out the hospital, so I was just like, I just need something different. Something else has got to give. So I just was like, no, let me go ahead and just try this. And the fact to also get 50% off, I was like, yeah, we're going full head into it. Let's get it, you know? So for the next 3 months, still job searching, but not really job searching, just really trying to really pour into cannabis at that point. I dove right into their program. Their program said that was supposed to take 8 to 9 months. I did it in 3 months. I literally just went through all the modules, did all the homeworks, did the research. You know, I was making videos along with it to make sure that, you know, that not only was it, I was learning the information, but I was also getting it in a way that I was able to articulate it to every lay language, just being able to explain it to everyone and actually be the educator and be comfortable talking on video, talking to people about this education. It's a little different from therapy where, you know, the other person talks a little bit more versus me having to have the knowledge and information to do that. So went ahead with that, got done with the program, loved the program. It was a great program. Shout out to Corinne and Andrea for really putting together and piecing together those types of outlets where not only did they bring in the knowledge, but they also brought in actual clinical resources to really tie it all together. So did that. I ended up going ahead and trying out different things where now I'm a certified cannabis educator, and I really wanted to make sure I was putting on workshops, but something still was missing because I still miss therapy. I still was like, I still want to do therapy though. Like, I don't want to, after, you know, going to undergrad, grad school, just to give it up, just did not feel right and sit well with me. So I was like, well, honestly, it's really a combination of both. I think there needs to be more of a conversation and a collaboration of cannabis and mental health because there are a lot of overlapping scenarios and situations that come up, at least for me. And so I was like, okay, well, what else are we seeing out here? So I, went ahead and pushed through with, Leafy Lifestyle McGlone Consulting, as well as I did also apply to get a social equity license, which me and my husband did win. And so now we're in the process of opening up a cultivation. So it really has been just really embracing the not only cannabis as a therapeutic, but also embracing the culture of cannabis and understanding what the war on drugs really has done to this actual plant, and how it has demonized it so much. So yeah, that's my story. That's why I'm here, and
Wow.
honestly, I can't get enough of it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I did not know that you had won the 50% off to get that training. That's awesome. And
Hey, things work
thank you to
out. It
them
works
for like
out.
offering that, right? Because it helped you extend your path to where you are
Absolutely.
now. So that's a wonderful thing. We're going to be talking a fair bit today about the benefits of cannabis for one's mental health and mental and emotional well-being. But before we do that, I want to talk about the benefits of cannabis that most people, or many people at least, already know in reference to the physical. So you mentioned the first, right, is insomnia. I was also introduced to cannabis because of insomnia. But I was in my 40s. I, like you, was not. I mean, I'm a preacher's kid. We grew up in a certain kind of household where we did not do that. And I used to side-eye friends in high school who did, right? And went straight through my adulthood until my 30s when I started to develop symptoms of an autoimmune issue. And when cannabis became legal here in the state of Maryland, I had already started hearing about the research. And I hate pain medication. It has so many side effects. And so I just decided to give it a try. So cannabis is a wonderful ally for pain management. It's an anti-inflammatory on the body, and it helps with relaxation and insomnia, all of which are helpful for a person who has an autoimmune disease, or an autoimmune
Absolutely.
issue. And so that's what kind of helped me turn my mind around in reference to cannabis. And CBD, I think, is one of the most underrated parts of the plant,
I
because
honestly think it's the most powerful part of it,
right,
honestly, because it's
exactly.
just it does so much, and it interacts with our body on such a chemical and neurological level that it's just like, why is no one paying attention to this over here?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the part that's not an intoxicating part of the
Exactly.
plant. So we'll definitely talk some more about that. So we're about to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the therapeutic qualities of cannabis for the mental health context. And then we'll go on from there. So thanks. Jess, take it away.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
So welcome back. And in this segment, we're going to dive right in and talk about the mental health benefits of cannabis and the ways that cannabis can be used as a therapy tool, a psychedelic therapy tool in particular. And so one of the things that we have to ask ourselves as cannabis continues to expand around the country. It is now legal, I believe, in 40 states and DC at the time of this recording, for at least medicinal use. And it continues to grow for recreational use, right? And, you know, we've all heard the stories about cannabis as a recreational plant and ally. And we've now talked a little bit about the physical benefits, but what can it do for mental health, particularly for people who are struggling with depression, anxiety, grief, and PTSD, right? So that's what we're going to talk about in this segment. So, Sari, when you think about those mental health struggles, particularly for people with PTSD or trauma, what comes to mind as the benefits?
I would say the benefits are really just being able to work with the plant itself. So whether it's bringing down some of that anxiety, some of that natural hypervigilance that might be going on, being able to calm yourself a little bit more, to maybe even step outside yourself and be able to see that the problem, the issue, the emotion is not as big as without it, it's making it feel, right? Being able to see the bigger picture of something. I think that's what it really does, at least from my experience and when I've talked to other people about it. It's able to like calm their nerves a little bit, to actually be able to stop the panic from taking them down this rabbit hole, and being really able to, even when it comes to depression, even like the thought of, okay, maybe it's not as bad as it feels right now.
Right. Absolutely. I think too, in the therapy space, if a person is doing like more of a psycholytic therapy session where it's not all the way a psychedelic journey, but just enough to bring them to that space, mm-hmm. and they're able to then problem solve in a way that they had not thought about before, right? Because it allows you to, you know, our lives are so filled oftentimes with anxiety. Anxiety mm-hmm. constricts, right? It just kind of brings you like this. Depression constricts. And the use of cannabis can allow someone to have some ease, even mm-hmm. in their thinking, to see the solutions to problems in a way that they had no idea could be there, even if somebody had said it to them already, they just kind of walked it out.
Definitely that. I think that's why I think cannabis is such a powerful therapeutic, because it also allows you to retain your autonomy. It also allows you to still be able to see things and not get so completely dazed that you don't understand what's going on around you, and being able to bring you back to your present. Because I think, you know, we always kind of talk about, you know, as therapists, depression is the past, anxiety is the future. Being in the present is where we kind of need to stay. And sometimes that really brings you to even sitting with your body and actually being able to breathe in and feel it. And even in a roundabout way, you're doing a lot more deep breathing and breath work because you're inhaling more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it does allow people to breathe a little bit more with some ease.
Yes.
Which can be a beautiful thing, right? cannabis, you know, it's interesting because I came to the training for cannabis assisted psychedelic therapy after watching a documentary years ago on the Gaia Channel, where I saw Daniel McQueen talking about the benefits of psychedelic cannabis.
And so I think that's
like, what?
And I think that's so interesting because I think most people do not consider cannabis a psychedelic. And I think really have to bring that back, that it is really kind of a mild psychedelic.
Right.
Understanding where the preface of psychedelic comes from, and psyche being the soul, the actual spirit, the breath itself, the delic part being able to reveal or manifest. And so that psychedelic cannabis brings the unconscious material that you already have there that was maybe blocked up, was maybe blocked out, or feeling that stuck feeling, or maybe even because you have your walls up, you weren't able to bring out that emotion, bring out that memory and those sensation. And that's what cannabis can do. And when you're thinking about it, it's best used when you actually are able to add in that intention, that breath work, and most importantly, the safe facilitation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of my favorite things about working with cannabis in psychedelic space, as opposed to some other medicine, is the autonomy that people are still able to feel. And that is so important with someone who has experienced trauma or is living with PTSD, to be able to maintain that autonomy where something like a medicine like psilocybin or MDMA or even ayahuasca kind of just knocks you out physically, so to speak. Cannabis, people are still able to sit up and have conversation and process and move. I've done psychedelic therapy sessions with cannabis with people where they got up and actually did yoga because they felt like they needed to express or release some energy in a physical way. So there's always mats in my space. Yeah. And so they would get up and do yoga and then lie back down. You know, that kind of autonomy is beautiful. And if you're a person who has been physically assaulted in some way, sometimes the more intense psychedelics could be a little bit much.
Yeah, a little
process.
A little off-putting. And I think also understanding that even the trauma, when it comes to that trauma, is like we know it's very much been proven that trauma is stored in our body.
That's right.
And therefore we have to be more somatic with our approach sometimes. It's not always can be this kind of talking back and forth. Sometimes we have to actually be able to physically change something, shift something for us to actually lower our walls and lower our defenses. And I think because on top of adding something, but also you're adding in more of the breath work, and it's bridging that connection between your mind and body, and it enhances. It's the body. Cannabis allows the body to feel, and the breath work amplifies the introspective part of it, the potential that it has for you to go.
Exactly. And we don't really always think about the breath in this way, but the breath is the connection from this world, this 3D world that we live in, to our divine essence, whatever you want to call that, right? But it helps you to bridge that gap. And when we can consciously breathe, especially in the space of healing, right, it brings the healing and the work that much deeper.
And I think that's really what drew me in, because after even doing my cannabis education, I think one of the resources was Daniel McQueen's book of psychedelic cannabis. And that's when I was like, wait, psychedelic cannabis? Like,
right.
I'm trying to merge mental health and cannabis here. So that's where I think I need to be going.
Yeah.
And reading his book, and then literally finding you on LinkedIn and saying, hey, how was it? You know, really. And then you helping me to actually go through the program as well and go through that training for me to become a psychedelic based therapist. It really just also helped me to understand the different, the different nuances of a psychedelic, and even the introduction of different types of trauma residuals or stuckness, which they call it DROSC.
Yeah.
Yeah, DROSC in the human system, where it's an accumulation of maybe psychological debris or trauma stored in the nervous system. And I was like, well, I know what it felt like, but I didn't know what to call it.
That's that word sounds like it's gunky and stuff, yeah, and has like low vibrational energy, right?
And so just being able to understand what those symptoms even look like, what they mean. And so that physical, when it's DROSC, it could be chronic tension. It could be disease. It could be, you know, the different kinks. It could be emotion, shame, fear, anger, and that grief, that loss feeling. And then mentally, it could be that the compulsions, the obsessive thoughts, the harsh inner critic, the outdated beliefs that, you know, you feel like the black sheep or not feeling included or rejection. And so it really allows you to say, oh, this doesn't have to be here. Like, this part does not have to be a part of me anymore. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not like we came into the world with it. We picked it up along the way. We can let it go.
Yeah. And being able to purify yourself a little bit more and let go of some of that shame and that fear, or even those, you know, negative intrusive thoughts that kind of plague everyone at certain parts of their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is one of the kinds of therapies that are out there that can help people to move past that. Right. Yeah. And so cannabis as a psychedelic can be gentler and more flexible for people who want to step into psychedelic therapy, but not ready yet to do one of the more intense, big experiences with one of the other medicines. It can be something that gives people or leaves people with a sense of control and autonomy, a greater sense of control or autonomy, and enhance one's somatic processing or ability to process their inner world, their somatic world, and then also to be a bridge to the deeper work, right? Because there's less of a barrier to do the deeper work.
Yeah, I like to think
fabulous that way.
Yeah, now I really like to think of psychedelics as a roller coaster. Once you get on, you can't get off. You have to wait to the end of the ride.
Yes.
Cannabis is more of a mirror. You see what you see, and if you want to look a little deeper into that spot over there, you can.
You sure can. Exactly. And so we're about to take our next break. And so when we come back, we'll talk about the ways cannabis-assisted therapy differs from recreational use. All right. So come on back, you guys. Jess, take it away.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. and today we are talking about the ways that cannabis can be integrated into one's mental health and wellness. And so we've talked a bit about the ways that cannabis differs from other psychedelics and the ways that it can be incorporated in the therapy or therapeutic practices. And so now we're going to talk a little bit about how does cannabis differ from recreational use? And so some of the ways that we've all seen in reference to recreational use is kind of party mode, hanging out in chilling mode, right? Mm-hmm. People getting ready to go out, or once they're out, making sure they light up a J or something, mm-hmm. or hanging out at home with friends. Mm-hmm. It is also in some ways a thing that crosses over into therapeutic in the sense that many people smoke at night at home the mm-hmm. way people used to come home from work and open a beer,
yep,
or pour a glass of wine. There has been a shift over the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years, and especially with the younger generation. Younger generation tends to drink less.
Mm-hmm. I think we've seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the younger generation. We've seen what happens when alcoholism gets too out of hand. And when right. you come home and it's always just grab a beer, grab a glass of wine. Exactly. And we're starting to see the shift that we're not having the hangovers anymore. We're like, we don't want that to feel that way. If we're going to actually do something to maybe relax or, you know, settle in after a long day, we don't want something that's going to make us feel horrible the next day. Exactly. And so that's one thing that cannabis has been really helpful with, and understanding that it's not always, you know, recreationally, you know, it's a nice wind down, but therapeutically, it's not necessarily just getting high.
Exactly. So that's where the line has kind of blurred a little bit from just recreational to therapeutic. I think people who are really becoming a little more conscious, even about their recreational use. But when we talk about the therapeutic uses of cannabis, we would be remiss to not like talk about set and setting, right? The old term, where it talks about what's the mindset
mm-hmm.
or the intention behind your use of cannabis. And it can be any level of cannabis. The two or three tokes you might take when you come home from work mm-hmm. to the microdose, the smaller doses that you might have throughout the day to manage pain, perhaps, or the psycholytic dose that you might take for a therapeutic session, or if you're going all in for a psychedelic therapy session. Absolutely. What are the intentions that you're setting?
Right. Absolutely. And I think it's interesting because even as having a cannabis assisted psychedelic session, understanding that it's structured, it's trauma informed, it's guided with a therapeutic presence where we're emphasizing the healing, the insight, and more importantly, the integration. Mm-hmm. I think that without integration and without intention, it kind of goes right back to recreational. You don't have the guidance of what are we actually doing? What is this for?
Right.
So I think some key elements that you literally just touched on. So the intention setting, right? So clarifying, you know, what is it? What are we open to exploring? Mm-hmm. Because I think being able to have those conversations of what is the goal here is really helpful to actually let people know, wait, I need to have a goal for smoking? Yeah. In order to get where you want to go, because get out of that stuck feeling, we need to have a goal to set first, right?
That's right.
Then moving on to that set and setting of the environment has to feel safe, comfortable, and more importantly, grounded. It's so funny when I have to kind of explain to clients like, that fun phrase of you're blowing my high is a real thing.
That's a real thing, yeah.
It's a real thing. You can't.
Like, who are you with? When you are taking cannabis in,
yeah.
People don't realize that. Like that effect, that's part of your environment. Who's ever in the space with you is affecting your environment.
Because you feel that energy.
How you're feeling. Yep. How you're feeling the medicine.
You feel that energy, whether or not you're like they might say something to you, just like, you're messing up this really experience for me, you know? So it really does have to do with setting the environment around you. So if you're not as comfortable, whether it's you got your pillows, you got your favorite food in front of your snacks, that makes it more of a safe space.
The playlist.
Exactly. The playlist is big. Because that can take you a whole nother place as well, you know?
Absolutely. That was one of my favorite parts of the training, because music is a huge part of my life experience. Mm-hmm. And music is actually going to be one of these episodes that we're going to be talking about integrating for our mental health. But when I got into the training with Daniel and realized music was one of the modules that we were going to be talking about, and playlists, like creating a playlist for this kind of important work, I was all in. I was like, oh yeah, this is up my alley.
And Siobhan, I remember when you were doing the training for me and we were in the training and there was a specific song that played, and it literally, and of course, this is after we had, you know, had the opening session and had the togs and we were laying down after the body scan. And I literally felt like the music was moving through my body. Like my whole chest felt like it was beating with the drum of the beat. Like everything felt like, I was like, I've never felt music this like, electrifying through my body.
It's almost like tangible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It certainly was. Yeah. So it's just, that's how much it goes into, but that's literally what cannabis can do when you add it into that safe setting.
Absolutely.
So I think thinking
kind of riding either you're riding the wave of the music or the music is riding with you. It's either or.
Absolutely. And so I think it's also important to like kind of even touch on like the different types and the dosage, right?
Right.
The strains, the roots, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, people are just like, well, I just don't like to smoke. Or maybe some people just all they want to do is smoke. But we have to think about how we're administrating it, how we're inhaling it. And sometimes, you know, whether it's the burning of it, that can be, you know, sometimes a little bit more harsh on the lungs, but the vaping of it might be a little bit easier. That's and it right. also gets you more of the therapeutic benefits like the terpenes. So I think it just needs to match what you actually need in that space. Mm-hmm. And to go from there. So thinking about like not every strain of cannabis is going to give you that psychedelic effect. That's first and foremost. I think people are just like, I can do this at home. What are you talking about? And it's like, but you have to think about, I mean, technically you could do it, but you got to find the strains now. You got to go out and kind of search for it and make the blends and understand what are your needs that you need. So thinking about it that way, and also thinking about the therapeutic container itself.
Absolutely.
Thinking about the mindfulness, the somatic tracking, the emotional processing, and the resourcing, which is, I think, some like really super important. The resourcing of understanding where you are and what can come out of the experience itself.
Absolutely, and resourcing can be even expanded on like who in your life would you even trust talking about this kind of therapeutic or psychedelic experience? Mm-hmm. Because you can't share it with everybody. Not everybody's not going to understand. And how do you define spirit or higher power? Is that something that is in your vernacular? Because that's resourcing, right? Because if you're in a psychedelic journey with any medicine, spirituality is going to come up.
Yep.
It allows you to take that deep dive inward in order for you to know yourself. And that is part of spirituality. Even if you can't come out of it and say, I met God today,
right?
Right? It is still a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
And so it's powerful to know how you're resourced, you know, and what you can do, what you can bring into your life from that resourcing. You know, what gets illuminated in the psychedelic space can help you resource better in your day-to-day life.
And I think the resourcing and the experience itself, because that's what most people ask me, what does this entail? What does that journey look like, right? And, you know, letting someone know that you might have a little bit more increased sensitivity, right? So thinking about your body-wise, when you take cannabis, your heart rate increases. That's what we've found, right? But you also might feel more of a little bit of a shake. You'd be like, I gotta shake this out a little bit. Or you might feel like your leg all of a sudden move. You're just like, I didn't want to move my leg. Why did it move? Why did it twitch like that? Right. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, for, I remember feeling a lot of warmth come, especially around my stomach area. It was a lot of warmth. I was like, I felt like someone put a heating pad on me. Like, I was like, I literally wanted to open my eyes and be like, Siobhan, did you come here? Are you playing? Like, it felt like someone put a whole heating pad on my stomach. Yeah. I was like, where is that warmth coming from? But yeah, just being understand that that's just the experience. Your sensitivity has really just increased a lot.
Absolutely.
Thinking about the emotions, right? So the wave of, it can sometimes be grief, it can sometimes be joy. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just sitting there giggling. You're just like, why am I sitting here? Why is everything just so funny all of a sudden? You know, like, but that's if you allow it to be that. It can be really sad. It can be, hey, if I want to go this way, I'm going that way. But if it can also be happy.
That's right. It's part of the process is your body's release, right? That expansion that a person can experience in that space. And if you're in the space of allowing, everything comes up that needs healing or releasing in those journey experiences. Like our teacher says, a symptom is just something halfway out, which is one of my favorite phrases that he taught us, because sometimes it is crying. I've done these sessions with clients where they cry for at least an hour of the session. And they're like, oh, I don't know where all that came from, right? Or the twitching. I did a session years ago with a young man who had deep depression, the kind that you could see on him. You know, sometimes when you see depression,
that on energy.
And he did a 2-day journey experience with me. And on the first day, as he laid there, letting the medicine work through him, I just visually watched him shake and twitch and basically shake the depression off of him. I have never seen anything like it since. But when he sat up, he smiled for the first time. I had not seen him smile before then. It was something. So, and then he just moved on to be able to make the kinds of big life decisions that he needed to make. So the therapeutic container, the combination of the therapeutic container, the facilitator or the pupil that are in the space, mindset going in with the intention that one sets, all of that plays a role, as well as the strains, the blends and the music. It's just a beautiful combination. And so when we come back, we'll talk about in the next segment, integration. What is integration? Because for me, intention setting and integration are the two things that really do make therapeutic cannabis work different than recreational cannabis. Okay, so thank you, everyone. Come on back for the last segment.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room, where we're today talking about integrating cannabis as a holistic practice into mental health and well-being. And one thing I want to make sure that we touch on before we go into talking about integration are what are the types of conditions that could benefit from therapeutic cannabis use or psychedelic therapy, cannabis-assisted psychedelic therapy. And so we touched on depression, we touched on anxiety, we also touched on PTSD. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the key diagnoses. Also, people who are in big life transitions, mm-hmm. dealing with burnout, severe stress, all can benefit. But there are some people who have to really think twice about or could be restricted from stepping into psychedelic space with any medicine. And so those are some of the neurological disorders that are out there, as like seizures and so forth.
Or even something more, a little bit more maybe like unmanaged, severe like personality disorders.
Absolutely.
Or associative, you know, where we're having more of this like post delusions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So those kinds of disorders are not usually ones that we recommend for psychedelic therapies, but there are the therapies that they could access that could be as beneficial. So mm-hmm. that's why we say, make sure you talk to your doctor, psychiatrist, or therapist if you have any intention of checking out psychedelic mm-hmm. therapies of any kind, because you don't want to be in a space where you harm yourself unwittingly.
Right.
So those are the you want to be a good fit and you also want to be working with someone who knows what a good fit is. So let's go on to talking about integration, which is one of my favorite subjects around psychedelics in general, but particularly with cannabis, because one of the things I will always offer for people when they want to do a 1 day or 2 day journey with me is I recommend they bring a journal, because oftentimes people get what I call a download of mm-hmm. information in psychedelic space. And so they will then sit up and write feverishly, either somewhere in the middle of their journey experience or right at the end. And so people don't always know why I'm saying bring a journal until they're there. And then they're like, oh, I see why you told me that. And I told one client this years ago, and I think they brought a journal, but they also brought their sketchbook because they're an artist. They sat up and drew what came to them in their journey space. That was the coolest thing to me. I was like, oh yeah.
I think we have to understand that the integration itself is the process of weaving in the insights, the emotions, the shifts from the session into our actual day-to-day life.
Absolutely.
And being able to apply it. And so without integration, it feels like those peak experiences that we just had become isolated memories. You don't,
they kind aren't of
able
float.
To pull them out.
Yeah, they float away.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It brings that concreteness to the experience.
Absolutely. So literally you just talked about the first stage of integration, right? So the remembering part, the journaling, mm-hmm. the drawing, the voice notes, just like remembering what it is that you saw.
Yeah. Saw, heard, felt. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a sense, a feeling. I've had clients who actually had conversations with their ancestors in journey space, which is the most beautiful thing. And it's like, whoa, they're so surprised. Like grandma so-and-so, auntie so-and-so, uncle so-and-so met them there. It's a beautiful
thing.
That can
be something. So then we have the processing of actually talking to us, right? This is where the therapists come really into part of actually saying, okay, now that you remember what it is, let's go ahead and see the bigger picture. Let's go ahead and pull this out and bring this more to your awareness of maybe how this might be aligning with other things that are coming up in your life.
That's right.
I like to think of the third part is like the undoing, I believe. It was like the letting go of the harmful patterns that you saw, that the traumatic imprint that we're now able to shake off. You were able to come above board with that now, right?
That's right. And knowing that those no longer serve you. They may have in the past.
Right.
But now that they've come up for healing and observation, you can start to let those go and maybe replace them with something more healthy in your life.
Yeah, that more aligns with what you're going for. And again, going from that stuck in that survival mode to thriving.
Exactly. One of the things that I think is also I've noticed with people sometimes stepping into a journey space with cannabis is that they come out with a sense of awareness of how mindfulness practices can actually help them in their day-to-day life, whether that's meditation, going for a walk every day, journaling, breath work,
they see the value, the use of it. Cause it's like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be. But when I was in talk therapy and people telling me to do it, it made no sense. It wasn't going to work for me. That doesn't help, being able to see that. But also orienting, I think, also reconnecting to that safe space, that practice, the places, and remembering the joy, the softness, the playfulness that you don't have to struggle every single step of the way.
Absolutely. That is well said. You really don't. I think, too, when I meet with people after the journey. So, as you said, integration begins right after, right? You sit up, you start journaling, you start talking to the facilitator. But then 3 days, 2 days later, you have an actual integration session. You have another one, maybe a week and a half later. And those conversations are really where you get to help people craft a new life for themselves. Or craft a new aspect of their lives for themselves. Like, what do you bring out of that? Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like bringing something new into your life and making lasting change.
Yeah. So you're able to rewrite that trauma with a new understanding. But then that last part is really just the new beginnings of like being able to translate the healing into choices, into lifestyle shifts, into community care. And again, going back to the resourcing of who in your life can you actually depend on? Can you relate to? Can you talk to? And be able to understand that I'm now seeing things through a different lens now. And I think a good sign of all integration really is really just having that one increased emotional resilience.
Absolutely.
More self-compassion and being able to reduce that inner conflict within you and having greater clarity in relationships and boundaries.
Yes, both. Because you can be more open, come out of this more open to relationships, more open to connecting, but you also want to know where your boundaries are.
And that's always a hard thing. Because I think when people go into this, when they're coming to us, they're like, a lot of people always struggle with boundaries, whether they're material time boundaries, sexual boundaries, there's a wide range. And for them to be like, I finally understand that boundaries are self-preservation. It's in order to keep me safe and keep me happy, healthy, and thriving. Absolutely. And so now I understand why I have to place them and why I can't let other people place my boundaries because it won't actually be for me.
Yeah. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. So in closing, when you're thinking about ways to incorporate cannabis into your life for your mental wellness and your mental health, think first that maybe you want to talk to your therapist or your doctor or psychiatrist about that first. But then in going forward, think about how it could be in smoking it. It can be in edibles, gummies,
tinctures.
Can be tinctures, it can be teas. Now we have a whole host of beverages out there. And I highly recommend going slow and low in your dosing first. And if you want to step into the therapeutic space of psychedelic therapy with cannabis, then definitely find a licensed or certified person who can work with you, who can create a safe container with you and for you.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say that understanding that also it doesn't have to be, oh, I started this J, I got to finish this J.
Right.
Microdosing is okay.
Microdosing is a thing. Exactly.
Yes. Like it could literally be hit it one time and I was like, okay, it levels me out. You don't have to be necessarily high, but you can be medicated.
That's right.
That's the thing. Like you said, go start low and go slow. And understand that everyone has a different reaction. So your friend that has that edible, that how they make them feel, it might not make you feel the same way. We all have a different, it's literally our endocannabinoid system is just as unique as a fingerprint. So it's not going to always be the same. And just to remember that you have a different process as everyone else too. So it's okay to be different.
Indeed. All right. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing with me this really huge topic in our therapeutic workspace.
Absolutely.
And if anything in this episode resonated with you, we'd love for you to share this episode with someone that you can, that you feel like it can help. There we go. And also subscribe to the podcast. It helps us and it helps to get the word out there. Join me again next week as we continue to talk about the holistic approaches to mental health and mental health well-being. Until next time, have a really great week, everyone.
Thank you again. Bye. Thank you.
Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk
Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.